One more time.
Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come together, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to give you thanks and praise for the day, the hour, and Lord, for revelation. We thank you, Father, for your grace upon us day by day. We thank you, Father, for each member of your body here and around the world, Lord. Lord, the body of your bride, Lord, to bring forth the manifestation of Jesus Christ in this day. May you bless each one. Bless those that are not able to be here. Lord, if there's sickness, may you give healing to them, Lord. Whatever their situation, may you touch them and guide them and keep them. May you bless Brother Goomba as he'll be traveling back, Lord, that you'll give him traveling mercy. And Lord, therefore, the bride and groom, that you would bless them, Lord, and give them a good life, a good marriage and family and all the blessings, Lord, that go with it. As we just thank you and praise you now, as we commit ourselves, each one, to you, asking that you would guide us in the furtherance of this service and speak to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. We thank the Lord to be here. And we are definitely missing a lot today. And so we trust all is well with each one. We know some of them are listening from home. And so some of them we haven't heard from. But we just ask that the Lord will meet the need. We know the desire of the heart is to be here. So may God just be with each one now. So we want to get right into the message this morning. And this is part three, picking up from where we left off on Wednesday. And from the attribute to the thought to the word to flesh. And so that was his goal. That was his goal from the beginning. And so I want to speak first. I just want to take a moment to talk just a little bit about the revelation of it, because this was the promise, and Brother Brandon was talking about it, and he had just preached marriage and divorce, and so he refers back to it, and he refers to the fact that God vindicated the revelation, and that it was a great thing that was taking place. And there was a couple other quotes I wanted to get. He was referring to this and how that God had revealed these things to him. But he'll make mention of it in the in this message. But from the very beginning, I broke into a prayer that he's praying here. And this is paragraph 2. And he said, "We thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days." And I believe that is real to every member of the body, every member of the bride, that this message is the revelation of him, of himself. And so that's the thing that is become real to the body of Christ today. And so that's why we know that the seven seals open. Amen. That's why we know that he's here, because this whole message is the revelation of himself. And so as this message, the fullness of it, the climax of it has revealed itself, we're able to look back and see how it was building and coming to this climax.
Amen.
So so he's saying here, thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days, to make our hearts, it makes our hearts most happy and joyful to know that we've come in contact with the living God, who vindicates it right back in physical, material evidences, as he did in the days gone by, and as he has promised for this day. Amen. And I know that I know what it was for me, because I came straight out of the world. I wasn't religious. I wasn't much in church. I didn't have all of those things. So when he opened, when he let me see, it was a great hour. It was a great moment to know that there was a living God in this day. Because up to that time, it was just I wondered. And I've seen people that went to church, and I've seen all those things, and I didn't see reality. I didn't see something real. And of course, we found that there's no life in man-made religion. So I don't have to call them by name. There's just no life in man-made religion. So as much as, no matter how sincere they are, no matter how much they want it, if there's a seed of God in there, God will enlighten them. God will quicken the seed, and they will come out. Amen. That's thus saith the Lord. That's the word of the prophet. See? So he vindicates it in every way, physical, material, as he did in the days gone by, and as he has promised for this day. We're so grateful to thee, O God, this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we have found the safety zone, the retreat. What is it to us? It's the absolute. Yes, sir. It's an absolute to us. And so, in looking at this thing, this message, I've preached it so much over the years and on the mission field and different things, and lots of, so much is in this. There's so much revelation in this message. And so, and I know we're going to read it as we go into it, that Brother Branham is talking about who is this Melchizedek. And so his first, as we'll read, his first point will be that this man, this person that is being spoke of, this Melchizedek, had no father and no mother, and no beginning of time, no ending of days. Now, it didn't take the opening of the seals for Brother Branham to know that. Although it sounds like, if you follow through on this message, it sounds like that's the theme of the whole thing. But what's happening in this message is that all the details that go around that, go with that, is what's being revealed. Nothing really changes, although he climaxes with that thing. He said, so now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view. Well, it does come into view, and it is the true revelation, because is the revelation is now in its fullness. Whereas before, he just knew that, yes, this was God. But now he knows how it was God, and he knows how that he came from the eternal spirit, Elohim, how he came from the attribute, how the Logos came out of God, and how that he came into the theophany, and then that Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. And so, and then he continues on to reveal himself. And so it was, if you want to use the word evolution, it was an evolution of God revealing himself and coming down, coming down, coming down. And so that's the beauty of this thing. All the pieces, all the details are being placed, are being put in there. So now I just want to comment just a moment on the morning's message. Now, the morning's message was marriage and divorce. So you know what that was. You'll never know what it was for me to do that. Now, it seems like a very simple thing to you, but you see what you're doing? You're taking the place of God to pronounce something. And before I would do that, it would have to come an answer from God. It had to come straight from God. And that's what it did. And that's what this did, and that's what the seals did, and that's what all of it done. That was the church. Every bit of it, it was revelation straight from God. Yes, sir. And so without it coming straight from God, then it's just another man assuming and trying to put together logically what he thinks. Yes, sir. See? And even now, as we study the message, we're doing it. We're doing it with our intellect. We're doing it with our mind. We're searching it, but we're waiting for that revelation. We're waiting because we know it's in here. And that's why, just like I talked about this, and that's why I wanted to read these few quotes here at the beginning on revelation. Because when Brother Branham first began back in the 50s, around 57, somewhere in there, just before there. But he talked about it so much. I don't know how many times, and I've just realized the other day that my count is off, because when I'm putting it in the computer and you put the word in and then it comes up, it says 85 hits. Well, that's within a sentence. And there's so many times that word is two or three times in the sentence. So it's only telling you how many hits you got within the sentence. Now, if you do it by paragraph, it comes out different. And so there is a way that shows up on your computer, but somehow or another, it goes away. I lose it. But I really love the feature in the search engine. You might know how to get it back for me, brother. But there's a way in the search engine that when you put in a word, it will show up beside every year how many times was spoken in that year. And then if you expand that and you get all the messages in that year, it'll show you every message it was mentioned in. Before you ever open a single message, it'll show you through the years every time it was mentioned, how many times it was mentioned. That's a great feature. And I've had it a few times over the years, and then it goes away. So I don't know how it comes, and I don't know how it goes. But I do know sometimes just the swipe of a finger can change everything, and you don't even know that you did it. So continuing on here, see? So he said, you're taking the place of God. Something, see, and before I would do that, it would have to come an answer from God, and he had to come down. He had to come down, and he visibly showed himself and gave the revelation. Now, he's talking about marriage and divorce now, that God visibly came down and showed himself. Okay, so what did he do at the seals? Huh? What did he do? There was a blast that shook the whole earth. There was a blast. There was an earthquake that shook the earth. There was a cloud there. There were seven angels that came down. Those things were visible. They were both spiritual and material and physical, that was being done to what? To prove, to vindicate that this was God doing something. That this was God was on the scene. See? And so he visibly showed himself and gave the revelation. Therefore, see, this is to the church. And remember, I said, what I said was to the church only. Praise be to God. All of this message, it's only to the bride. It's only to the elected. It's only to the predestinated. It don't matter how religious somebody is. Don't matter how much in the message they think they are. This is only for the bride. God is only given the revelation to the predestinated seed, and the rest of them can't see it. And so that's why, just as Brother Branham said, we should pray for revelation. We should thank God for revelation. Amen. We should thank him for revelation every day, because he's revealed himself and let us see what we see so far. Yes, and we know that there's more. We know that it won't end. We know that revelation will continue to grow. And the more we give ourselves to it, the more healed and lightness in it.
That's right.
Paragraph 20. And so that you might have confidence and know that was the same God that said to me up there, where there was no squirrel, speak and say where they'll be. Now, the same one revealed marriage and divorce, the same one that told me to speak the squirrels into existence. See? And three straight times it happened. Isn't that interesting? That God just didn't just let him speak squirrels into existence, three squirrels, one time, but he spoke three squirrels three times. Isn't that something? And God told him to say where they'll be. Just say where they'll be. What was the purpose in three times? Huh? What a vindication. What a proof. And three straight times it happened. And now if he can, by that same word, create something that isn't there, how much more will this hold fast at the day of judgment? See? People were there to see these things and know. And Paul said in the days, and I hope I'm not saying that wrong. I know it happened twice. But I'm for some reason I'm feeling checked. And so let me just, I know it happened twice that he spoke three squirrels. So I'll look that up. But he could be saying this either way. And so Paul said, in the days gone by, there's man with him who felt the earth shake and didn't hear the voice. See? And they seen the pillar of fire. That was in Paul's day. And the pillar of fire appeared. The voice spoke. And some got it. Some didn't. Some saw it, didn't hear it. Some heard it. And the other ones didn't. So listen, friends. This is paragraph 22. God confirms his word with signs and vindications to prove that it's right, the spoken word. See? Now remember, that light was in that cloud that gave the revelation. Amen. He's talking about marriage and divorce. He's talking about the Catalina Mountains. And he's going to tell us that that pillar of fire, that cloud that was at the mountain there, and the prophet was there. He climbed all the way up there to Finger Rock. And that mountain, that rock just goes straight up, like a pinnacle, like a finger going straight up in the air. And there's the mountains, and then that goes up. And so he was right there at the base of that pinnacle and praying, and God giving him the revelation, and the pillar of fire, that cloud, was just going up and down, up and down, up and down. God vindicating that he was speaking to his prophet. Yes, and out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of the mouth of babes, God spoke it. And so the schools, somebody at the school seen it. And those of you been there, that Arizona, or not Arizona, but Phoenix, what was the name of the place there? It wasn't Phoenix. Huh? Tucson. Thank you. Yeah, Tucson is at the base of the mountain. In other words, so there's the mountain range right there, and then the kind of, when you come to the bottom, it's just flat. It's just flat land, and you look out across the flat land, and then there's the housing begins, and that's actually where they built Brother Branham a house, was right there on the edge of that, on that road. And then across from it was just field, maybe built up now, but across from it was just field, and then the mountains started up. There was a road up into the mountains. And so then from there is the city. And when you get up there, you can just look out and see everything, all of the development, all the city and the houses. You can see everything. So that mountain range comes right along through there. All right. So here's where he's talking about them letting the school out. My little girl was telling me, Sarah here, that the school there in Arizona was looking up there on the cloudless sky and seeing this cloud mysteriously in that mountain going up and down with a amber fire burning in it.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That pillar of fire.
That's right.
Brother Branham says that amber color. The teacher dismissed the classes and the school and brought them out front and said, "Did you ever see anything like that? Look the way that's there." And it was just going up and down, up and down. And so Brother Branham said that, I think the boy's name was Ronnie, and I think his father was one of the Collins brothers. I don't know remember which one it was, but anyways, Brother Collins' boy, Ronnie, and said, Brother, he had a gas station, and so Brother Branham went by the gas station. And so that little boy came up to Brother Branham when he pulled into the gas station and said, "Brother Branham, you was on that mountain." And Brother Branham said, he said no, but said he wanted to see what the boy was going to say. And the boy didn't take the no.
Right.
He didn't take the no. He said, "No." He said, "I can show you right where you were."
Right.
And he said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "They let the school out to see that pillar of fire." Now, you know, we, way later, we have a generation now that is, our children has raised up. You people have been raised in this message. But there was, during the days of the prophet, that was a product of the supernatural happening all around him, so that when he seen that, he knew that this had to be the prophet of God. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. And I think that we need to be believing and expecting the same thing. Now, the prophet's not here, but the same supernatural God, he's here.
That's right.
He can do the same thing. He can do anything that he wants to do.
Yes,
see? That's the same amber light that's on the rock. See? So it's the same God and the same revelation. Said, tell them to do this. And that's what I told you this morning. So there it is.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now he's coming to his message now. So he's finished marriage and divorce. Now he's talking about who is this Melchizedek. And listen what he says. This is his introduction now to the message. Now let's get right into the service now quickly. Turn now with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. And another revelation on the message. Now the prophet is declaring this message. Who is this Melchizedek? A revelation. Just as he just got done talking about marriage and divorce being a supernatural revelation from God. He talked about the seals being a supernatural revelation from God. Now he's declaring this message, who is this Melchizedek, to be another revelation on the message. And then while reading the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. And that's what we're going to read now for our scripture this morning. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And then your brother randomly later come, he said, he's king of kings.
Yeah.
See, without father, without mother, without descent, huh? Neither beginning of days or end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the scripture, and that's where he's going. We're going to pick up in paragraph 30. In this message, who is this Melchizedek? Now, I'm going to jump a little bit here at first, but then if we get into it, we'll try to not. So, he's still talking a little bit about Revelation, and so I'm letting this go in here for the benefit of those who aren't up on that. So, who is this man? Theologians have had different ideas. But since the opening of the seven seals, the mysterious book that's been mysterious to us, see, according to Revelations 10, 1 to 7. Now, we know the change, and Brother Branham, he made this clear, even about marriage and divorce. When you read the message, marriage and divorce, he talks about, but now that the seals are open, the Spirit of truth leads us, guides us, reveals to us, now that the seals are open. So he talks about it a lot. So he's keeping it in here. And this is the reason why the revelation is coming, was coming during that time. And it's still, as Brother Branham said, when it opened up, it was still in a supernatural element. So it's in a supernatural element as it's being revealed to each individual seed of God. So every time a seed is quickened, there's that supernatural now coming on the scene and enlightening that one. So last sentence of that paragraph. All the mysteries of the mysterious book is to be revealed to the Laodicea messenger of that age. Paragraph 31. Seeing there is so much dispute about this person and this subject. Now, we may not think that much about it, but if you study and you look at some of the history and you look at what the theologians say, then you find it's a big argument. And I guess it's just like the whole Bible. The intellect has, they've been arguing about it for 2,000 years. And so the beauty for us is we can bypass the argument. We have the absolute. And so that's the good part about it. But he tells us, and we're going to skip some of that. He tells us, one has this idea and one has that idea, and some say it's a priesthood, and some say that it is just a myth. Some say it's not even, you know, real or anything. But Brother Branham said, no, that won't work because this is a person.
Yeah.
See, he said, this is a person. The Bible says it's a person. See? See, and there's so much dispute about this person and this subject. I think it behooves us to break into it and to find out who this is. That's right. So I'm skipping some of that. Paragraph 32. And the person is eternal. If you notice, he had no father. He had no mother. He had no time that he ever began. He had no time he ever ended. See? And ever who it was is still alive tonight. Huh? Why? Because he had no beginning, no ending. Right. He's an eternal person. See? So because the Bible said here that he had neither father nor mother, no beginning of days or ending of life, so it would have to be an eternal person. Praise God. Right. So this message sheds light on so many different revelations, not just on who is this Melchizedek, not just on the attribute and the thought and the theophany and so many different subjects. This message, it opens things to us. And so, but it ventures out into a lot of different things. And so, one of the things that opened for me some way back when Brother Holmes was preaching these things, and that's when he was talking about that Jesus, because this is something I've run into on the mission field, is that they talk about Jesus being divine and Jesus being eternal and Jesus having no beginning and no ending. And so when he comes here, he says, this man had no father and mother. He said Jesus had both a father and a mother. Is that right? Yes. He did. This man had no beginning of days or ending of days. Jesus had both a beginning and an ending. Huh? Yes, it was the eternal God in Jesus. But that flesh was the body of a man. That flesh, even though it was the spoken word, so was Adam. But Adam died. Jesus was flesh and blood so that God could die, because the eternal spirit can't die. So the eternal God, Elohim, the Father, now he creates a body and he dwells in the body so that body can die, that God can die for the sins of the people. So he can redeem all that was lost by the fall. So it's a great thing. So it touches on so many things. It enlightens. And a lot of times we're so used to reading these things, we don't realize, just like we were talking the other day about the computer and the phone and all these other things. We didn't have them as kids. We didn't have none of these things. You know, we went outside and played. And, you know, and sometimes we didn't have toys. We made our own toys. We took a stick and a rock and we did something. And so, but now, you know, now this thing's captivated the people. This is captivated. And it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing, but it also can be a curse. And so I thank God for it, because the search engine, what we have in the search engine, in the message, is astounding. It's just literally, you can pull up anything the prophet said, anything in the Bible. You can just, it's the most wonderful thing. And it is a great tool for ministers and for the bride of Jesus Christ. So, Ever who this was, he had no time that he ever ended, and ever who it was is still alive tonight, because the Bible said here he had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no ending of days. So it would have to be an eternal person. Is that right? An eternal person. So it could only be one person. See, that's God, because he's the only one that's eternal, is God. Amen. Praise be to God. So this Melchizedek, his description. And what is his description? It's his attributes. His attributes are the very attributes of God. No beginning, no ending, no father, no mother. All of these things, that's the attributes of God. So he's displaying those attributes. See? So he's repeating. I'm going to read it because I want to get this sentence here at the end of that. Now, we find out that this person had no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life. It was God in Morphid. Now, we know what Brother Branham brings this word, and he uses it a number of times. I think he also used this word in the message, Unveiling of God. So he's bringing what it was. The word means to change. It means to change the mask. And so in that changing, that's what God was doing. That was that evolution, that God was revealing himself a little bit more, coming from the theophany, coming from the spirit, I mean, coming from the spirit to the theophany, to flesh. And so the different ways that he was working, and Brother Andrew even talking about the way that God dealt with man, how that he was working through man, in man, and the different stages of him revealing himself in man. So it was God in Morphid. Now the word comes from the Greek word, which means change. See, that's what he used, changing himself in Morphid. From one person, the Greek word there in Morphid means it was taken from the stage act that one person is changing his mask to make some other character. And you know, Brother Branham talked about Rebecca's play there in school, Shakespeare, and he takes it back. In those days, they would just have, you know, a small cast. They might have three or four actors, and they would, these kings would want them to come in and perform these plays, and they would have to have many characters. And so one person might play three or four or five different people, and so they just changed their mask, and they were a different person. They changed their mask, they were a different person. And so God was changing his mask, see? He was the same person all the time, see? And I said, so the actor was the same person, but the character he was playing in the play for Shakespeare, that was different. And so for God, he was the Father. He was the Son. He was in Spirit. He was the Holy Spirit. See? He was in Moses. He was in Isaiah. He was in Elijah. He's in the bride. He's just changing his mask. He's just changing his form so that he can do what? Display himself. So that he can show himself. And so the people have to be able to. Think about this now. If he changes his mask, then the people have to be able to recognize his characteristics. And that's what we read, what an attribute is. It's your character. It's your characteristics, see? And then those characteristics are your thoughts, and they become the word. And they become the manifestation. See? So, he's changing his mask to make him some other character. That's right. So, paragraph 42. Now, notice now, like a sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God has done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid and is supposed to be revealed in this age. And now that's how the great sculptures have always did. They don't want to show their work until it's completely finished. And so Brother Branham talked about one of the great one is when they done the sculpture of Moses, and how great that was, and then what made it so perfect was that he got so beside himself until he struck the statue. And he actually took a chip out of the knee. It was so perfect, and he had a vision of what he looked like. And it was so perfect so that when he seen it, when it was finished, when he'd done the final buffing and wiping and chiseling and all that he had done for years and years and years, it was so perfect that he got beside himself and he picked up the hammer and struck the knee and said, "Speak." Isn't that something? But the vision was perfect. And think, God had something in his mind that he spoke.
Yes, sir.
And it was able to speak.
Right.
When he quickens the seed, it's able to speak directly from God. Directly what God would have that vessel to speak forth. See, but it's hidden until the time comes to unveil it. And then when it's unveiled, everybody can see what it is. Or let me change that. All of those that are invited in to see that unveiling. If you're not invited to an unveiling, well, you don't see it. You just got to know what people are telling you, what they're talking about. But if you're there and you see it unveiled, then you know what it is.
That's right.
See? And that's us. That's the elect. See? That's what God has done to this age. It's been hid. All these things has been hid. See? And it's supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, the Bible says they will be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor, see, keeping his piece of work all covered up over until the time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is, see? And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, see? And that's the thing that it's so beautiful. The beauty of it is doesn't come to me. The beauty of it doesn't come until you're born again. And when you're born again, then you realize the beauty of Revelation. You realize the beauty of God, of the mystery of God. Because people feel like they've read their Bible and they feel like they have a knowledge of God, and they take some scriptures literally that sound like, oh, you just confess with your mouth that you believe, and people do, and they say, I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He's my Savior. I repent of my sins. And that's wonderful. And it's good that you fulfilled that literally with your mouth, and you've done all that. But that is not the reality of it happening.
Right.
That's your words. That's your words, and those are good words to say. That you're quoting the scripture. But there has to be something on the inside. So if there's something on the inside, then when you speak, then God can quicken the seed. And when He quickens the seed, then that reality takes place. Then it's not just you quoting it and going on and living your life like you used to live it.
Right.
No, now you're born again, and now Christ is in you, taking control and moving you by His Spirit, by the Word of God, by the Word of the age.
Right.
And so it's not just quoting scriptures. It's not just saying that I've called on Him and now I'm a believer, now I'm a Christian, now I'm everything, and you keep living the way you were living. No, that ain't it. I sent this thing to Michael. I started to put it on the church. I didn't know if I wanted to start doing that, but is this kid, I don't know, he's sitting on some panel or something. They give him a microphone and a chair, and he's sitting at a table, and he's got an accent and it sounded really cute. He's just a kid and he's preaching and he's telling them, he's saying, you're saying you're a Christian. And he said, you married a man? You're a Christian. He said, you married a woman? You're a Christian. And then he's got this little, it's cute. It's hilarious. But it's exactly right. It's exactly what people are doing. They're saying, I'm a Christian, and then anything that they want to do that's not in this against the Bible, they can do it. Because in their intellect, in their minds, they have confessed those words that they think saves them. Jesus said, you better search the scripture. You better search them, because He said, in them you think you have eternal life.
Right.
It's the scripture that makes you think that.
Yep.
It's got to be Christ in you.
Amen.
That's what the Bible has been. It's been a work of God that's been covered up. It's been hid since the foundation of the world. And it's sevenfold mystery. Praise be to God. What is it? It's been hidden from the foundation of the world. In every age, he's letting out a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. A prophet had come on the scene and reveal something. And those prophets were saying it too. They were saying, they were revealing things that were not known. Moses did things that had not been known from the foundation of the world. Isaiah, those prophets, they did things that had not been known from the foundation of the world. Jesus spoke and said he spoke things that had not been known from the foundation of the world. And then Paul comes right behind him and says that he was preaching things that had not been known from the foundation of the world. And we didn't hear no more about that until this day. And now this prophet said, this is the sevenfold mystery. This is the climax. This is the finish of the whole thing. This is the complete mystery of God unfolded, revealed before the people so that they can see God. Hallelujah. It's been hid from the foundation of the world. It's the sevenfold mystery. That's right. God in Morphet, masked in the pillar of fire. God in Morphet in a man called Jesus. God in Morphet in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us, the condescending God. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, I want to drop down there. If you can get down to the last where he says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Right there. Okay. So now, we're fixing to get into the message in just a minute. So, but this quote goes back, and this is 1957? Yep, this is 1957. Okay, so I told you this over and over, that back there, Brother Branham started talking about the theophany. Before that, it had never been mentioned. Then he starts talking about it, and it's constantly he's talking about it. This was at the same time he's really introducing the creation and the Logos coming out of God, and he's identifying the Logos as the Word, as the Son of God, as the Theophany, as the pillar of fire. He's identifying that as the first bodily form of God. That's what was happening during this time. And so he starts talking about the theophany, and it's just it's many, many, many times. I don't know if it was 50, 60, 70 times, whatever it was. He just really had it. Then we get away, and then it starts fading out, and then we get some years. We go in some years, he never mentions the word theophany. And so so I wanted to go back and read one of those quotes back there. I have many, many of them. And some of them were under the seventh angel whose revelation was in part. And so there's some of this. We come after the seals and we read, he made it clear, this is the revelation. This is the fullness. This is the finish of it now. And so that's where we're looking for when we're declaring a doctrine, when we're declaring an idea, we want to get it over here. We want to base it over here. But some of those things will come through. But we're looking to prove it here. And so that's why this is message been a little bit tricky for me, because I got some questions and I'm still, I see some of it, and some of it, I'm just afraid to say it until I can completely prove it after the seals. You can prove some things before seals. That's what's wrong with, that's why people are in their theophany.
That's right.
They're proving it back in the 50s.
Yep.
He says it. Yep. You can prove that Adam was in his theophany in the garden with the animals and all that. You can prove it. In the seventh church age, you can prove it. See? But now when you come over into the bride age, and the full revelation, the veil has been taken off.
Amen.
Now, that's been corrected.
Yes, sir.
Adam bypassed his theophany. Adam was not in his theophany.
Right.
So there are some other things there that we want to see. So here we go. In the beginning, God was a spirit, the eternal spirit. He was just Elohim, the self-existing one. See, he dwelt alone. There was nothing else. See, and all the fountain of goodness and mercy and power and all the good things of love. God was the center of that fountain. And this is, when you go back and you read some of these old quotes where he's talking about this beginning, before there was anything, there was no sin. There was no perversion. There was no nothing. This is where you find the true characteristics of God. He was the fountain of purity. He was love. There was no jealousy. There was no Satan. There was none of these things. So when God created Lucifer, Satan, iniquity was found in him. It was found in him. That wasn't God. And God's not doing it. But God has allowed Satan to do what he does. But that, and it's for a purpose, it caused the fall, and now it's going to cause, it causes the judgment, which is bringing out from that time to this time, and all in between is bringing out all the attributes of God in full display for God to display himself in all that he is. And so he is all of that. That is his characteristics. That's his attributes. And that's what he allowed to take place to manifest all that he is. And then the Logos, see, that went out of God in the beginning. There's John 1:1, in the beginning, see. The Logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we would call a theophany or a supernatural body. That's what it was. So that's what came out of God. And that's why he said that was the Son of God. Now, we're not talking about flesh now. We're not talking about the flesh of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the theophany. The theophany of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Logos of God. Amen. Which is the Word. He was creating a body so that he could be seen. Before there was anybody to see him. So you say, well, you can't see that. That's a spiritual thing. You can't see that body. Well, that's one of the questions that he answers. So we're going to see. And that Logos that went out of God in the beginning become what we call a theophany. Or a supernatural body. In some places he called it pillar of fire. He called it that amber light. See, God is just not like the air. But he's in a body. Huh? Brother Ram said he has a house. He has a place where he dwells. He lives in. Just like you. You're living in a body. God lives in a body. See? See, Moses seen him pass by and said it looked like the back part of a man. And so forth. And then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelt among us. So, without just taking what he's saying here, did Moses see a theophany? He did, didn't he? That's what it says. And we're going to find out how he's seen it, because he's going to tell us. So, but he's telling us here that he passed by Moses and he's seen the back of a man. Right? He's seen the backside of a man. And Brother Branham said it was a theophany. And then, so Moses saw him. So Moses saw that theophany. Amen. And remember now, this is way back before the seals. So, and then that same theophany was made flesh and dwelt among us. So that theophany that Moses saw, now he's saying it was made flesh in Jesus Christ. He's not going to all the detail, but we'll get to that. See, and we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father. See, Christ. All right. So now we're coming to the message. Who is this Melchizedek? Another revelation. Another revelation on the message. See? Now we see the attribute. Sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body. Now all of these are description. All of these are details. And all of this is revelation. God is revealing something that had never been known before. these terminologies and these words, they weren't being used. You look up these words and you search them in the search engine, there's no scripture there. You're going to the message. You're going to the message for much of this terminology. You'll get a scripture here and there that if it's worded just right or you say a certain word. See, now watch. Now we see the attribute, huh? Sons of his spirit. Now who are sons of his spirit? That's us. That's us. That's the attribute. That's the characteristics of God is in these attributes or in these sons of his spirit. Where are they sons? Genesis 1. Man was created in the image of God. And we're all there. And Brother Branham said, every seed, everything for your body, everything was there. I got the quote, but I'm not going to read it. But all of it was right there in the beginning when creation. The 16 elements is right there. Just waiting for you in your day and your age for it to be quickened. And to bring it to pass and to bring the manifestation in this day. See? We see the attributes sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body. Now, just right off the bat, see, he goes right into declaring a doctrine. He's making a doctrine. And this doctrine that he's making right here is correcting what he said approximately 20 years ago, 18 years before. He's correcting what the seventh angel said. Now, Christ, the Son of Man, has come on the scene. The seals are open now. Christ is, God is unveiled. And now he's beginning to reveal the fullness of the revelation. That's what's happening. That's the difference between all the other ages. The revelation was coming in part. It was coming in part, in part, in part. And now, when it comes to the end, all the dark places, the shadows, the gray areas, all the light shines on that. Right. And it clears it all up. And that's, you know, I seen this mechanic when I was in Canada. I seen this mechanic, and he's working, you know, he's getting up under the hoods, and the lighting wasn't good in the garage and the sharp. And so he had on this headset, and I'm pretty sure I've seen him here. He had on this headset, and it had two prongs sticking out like this right here. And both of them was a light. There was two flashlights on his head, and they were flexible, and so he could turn them. He could turn them any way he wanted to turn them. So he'd get up on her vehicle or get under the hood or get under the dash inside, whatever. He could shine the light on those dark places. And that's what God has done. God has shined the light in on all of those dark places and let us see who, what he said at the very beginning, that Christ, thyself, Lord, are being revealed. You're the one being revealed. It's revealing the word and he's the word.
Yes, sir.
See, we have not yet entered into the word form body. See, a theophany. See, this body, flesh, is subject to the word and earnest. See, waiting for the earnest change of the body. See, and what? So waiting what? For the resurrection, waiting for what? Brother Branham say the earnest was. He said the earnest was divine healing. He said divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Why? Because that divine healing is giving healing to this thing that is going to be fully restored one day. It's going to be that glorified body. It's going to come from that theophany to that glorified body. And so the earnest of it is the divine healing that can give a little something to this body until we get to that body.
That's right.
So the divine healing proves that that's going to happen.
Yes,
so it's something in part until the fullness of something comes forth. See? So this body is subject to the word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now the difference between him and you. So he was the Son of God. You're a son of God. See? He was at the beginning the Word. And what was that Word? It was that theophany. Huh? It was the theophany. It was the Logos that came out of God. That he was that.
That's right.
See? And that's the difference between you and him. See, and he came in. I'm sorry. See, he was at the beginning, the Word, an immorphed body, just changing his form. He could just change his form. See, and he came in and he lived in that, in the person of Melchizedek. That's what he was. So, this Melchizedek, he went down to Abraham, right? And Brother Branham said, he was in a theophany, right? So did Abraham see him? Yeah, he seen him. He served him. He served him bread and wine. See, an immorphed body came in, lived in that, in the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. So what did he do? Immorphed. He changed himself again. He changed himself from the theophany, and now he comes into human flesh, a body like this, in Jesus Christ. See? And see, later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. See? Now, this is a revelation. See, the people, they were arguing about who Melchizedek is back there. Well, it was a priesthood in the Old Testament. It was this. It was a myth. It was a story. It was this. But now, he's taking this story of Melchizedek now, and he's continuing him. He's continuing him by immorphed, by him changing his mask. This is the same God. This is the same God that was in Christ. This is the same God that's in the bride. It's the same God all the time. He just was changing himself. See? Now, because that in that form, no, he said, now you bypass that, right? See? Because in that form, he knowed all things. So he was the Word before he became flesh. So in that form, in that Word body, he knew all things. Now, this is what he says. See? And you've never been able to know that. So when somebody tells me that they are in their theophany, that's the first thing. This is the first thing they got to do. They got to know all things.
Right?
They got to know all things.
Yes,
and so then he's gonna say, you bypass that. So now that bypassing now, I got a quotes that say that this is some of those questions, and I hate to do this, but. I think it's just the only way to approach this is so, since I don't have all the answers, I'm just going to throw some of the questions out there and let you wonder about it. And God will help us, and he might give it to you, and you can tell me. So I haven't read anywhere where he said that the pastor's got this thing on Revelation. He gets it all. No, it's in the body. It's in the body. He calls the preacher to preach, and that's what he does, but it don't mean he knows everything. And according to this, you bypass that. You bypassed it. So if you bypassed it, that can mean a couple of things, right? So I just want you to think. I want you to expand your thinking here. So if you bypassed it, does that mean that it's there? And you're just going by it and continuing on. Or it's not there yet. So when he's saying you bypassed it, because there's some quotes that says that body was made before the foundation of the world. So if it was made before the foundation of the world and you didn't come, see, until after, right? You were manifested. The creation took place there with Adam. All of those things. And then you came in your day and in your age. And here you are in the veil of flesh. But you bypassed the theophany. You bypassed the word body. And so so that's the same thing. Instead, in reading those things, is the same thing that got me thinking about, which I've wondered about a long time, and that's those sons of God rejoicing that Job was talking about. When God said, where were you when they were rejoicing before the foundation of the world? Where were you? So what was that? And does that, I'm not making questions, let me just throw a bunch of them out there. Brother Branham said it wasn't the person that was predestinated eternally from God. Now that one always threw me for a loop. It wasn't the person, but it was the seed. It was the seed. So that's easy enough to understand. But does that tie in to all these other things? So there's something there. I think there's something there somewhere, and I'm looking for it. So let's read it again. See? So Melchizedek becomes Jesus Christ, right? He just changes his mask, and he becomes Jesus Christ. All right? Now you bypassed that. What did you bypass? The word. You bypassed that supernatural body to come into this human body, right? Because in that form, he knowed all things. And you have never been able to know that yet, right? You come like Adam. You come like me. You became from attribute to flesh, right? You come like Adam, like me. You came from attribute to flesh to be tempted. So we bypass that, and now we come straight from the character of God, right? Straight from the nature of God, straight from the thoughts of God into this flesh. We bypassed it, okay? So what for? To be tempted. And when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. Now, this scripture, and Brother Branham used this scripture over and over and over and over again. He used this scripture, and he referred us back. And this is one of those scriptures that is just like, to me, because it's just a wall. It's just a matter of fact. And I can remember, you know, when people were arguing about who's going in, what's the flesh going to do, what about the resurrection? I can remember I always laid on one scripture, and Brother Branham referred to it. He said, "Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." So no matter how you twisted the quotes, how you twisted everything, Jesus said, "Flesh and blood cannot." You're going to have a hard time getting around that. It don't matter how, you know, what you do. You're going to have a hard time getting around that. That's a matter of fact statement. Yes, sir. And so this is a matter of fact statement. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. He didn't say that when you're born again, you potentially are in that body. Right. They didn't say that. Right. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Now, there goes right back to the question, it's already there, right? It's what he's saying. It's already there. It's waiting for you. When was it made? Was it made the same time his was? See, that's where we go. That's the word. Then we can look back and see what we've done. Now, we don't understand it, see? We've never become the word. And we've just become the flesh man, not the word. See? But look, it clearly makes it clear. You will never be the word unless you was the thought. Now you're getting to where I don't have any problem. This one is clear. This one is clear to me. It's just, there's no doubt about it. And some of the rest of the things he's saying there too, it's just some questions in the middle of what he's already said, what he's already made clear. See? So, you'll never be the word. And let me say it like this, you'll never have a theophany unless you were a thought. Because the non-seed don't have that body. They don't have it. Okay? So, I wonder, is that why he said he went and preached to the spirits? Brother Branham said souls, and the Bible said spirits. Preach to those spirits in hell. See, we've never become the Word. We just become the flesh man, not the Word. Clearly makes it clear you'll never be the Word unless you was a thought at the beginning. See? Where? At the beginning. If you was a thought at the beginning, see? That proves the predestination of God. See? You can't be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. But you see, in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. Right? He's made it clear. You had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down here in flesh to be tempted by sin. And then if you stand, all the Father hath given me will come to me. And I'll raise him up at the last days. See, you had to be first. You had to be first the thought. And then if you were a thought, then you have a word body waiting for you. Already it's waiting for you there. It's already ready, already there. That's right. That's the promise. And then, you see, he come right down the regular line from attribute. See, before the foundation of the world, his name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. That's something, so many things we learned about Jesus, isn't it? Things you wouldn't have even thought. Huh? And then from that, he become the Word, the theophany, that could appear and disappear. Did he say it? He said it. That theophany can appear and disappear. That's why he could go somewhere in a theophany and they can see him. And he can go somewhere in a theophany and they can't see him. Right. And that's the same way with the angels. Yes. He can make them where you can see them. Yep. He can change your seeing right. So that you can see them.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen.
See, before the foundation of the world, his name is put on... I'm sorry, I want to read that again though. Then from that, he become the Word, the theophany, that could appear and disappear. And then he become flesh. So you see the evolution. You see him coming. Right? See? And then he become flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition.
Right.
That's right. But you, listen again, He's not just saying it one time and leaving it hanging or leaving you wondering. He's repeating it and he's giving you details why and how. That's what he's doing. Because it's a revelation. The veil's been taken off. He's revealing this thing like it's never been revealed before. This thing had not been known from the foundation of the world. Moses didn't know what it was. He just seen the back of a man. You don't find nowhere Moses said, "Oh, I seen him in a theophany."
Right.
You know, he's seen the back of a man. He don't know what he's seen. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then, he's repeating it again, if this earthly tabernacle, see, is dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the bodies.
Right.
You don't have it yet. See? But now here, and so the brethren, and I have some very precious brothers that I love that believe this, that they're in that theophany. And so so when I follow their teaching all the way, they have some compelling quotes. But the problem is, their quotes after the seals don't agree with their quotes before the seals. So they're using the quotes back there to nail down their revelation. And so it doesn't work because after the seals is where our absolute is. It's what we use to nail down. So, the thing that seals it for me, where he really nails it down, is when he tells you that you don't have it, but then he goes to the new birth and he explains the new birth, and he does it more than one time. So he gives you part of it in one explanation, he gives you the rest of it in another explanation. So he takes the new birth and he explains the new birth, and when he does that, he shows you how that you don't have it. Okay? So you could still be saying, well, he's saying we don't, but spiritually we probably do. But no, he takes that away from you. That's the deal. He takes it away from you so that you can't misassume. You can't assume on your own those things.
Right.
See? Now he says, we have not yet the bodies. And he's used that scripture twice. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. We have not yet the bodies. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you.
Right.
Now he's talking about the new birth, right?
Yes.
He's talking about being born by the Spirit of God. So the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God.
Yes,
hallelujah. See, he that's born of God, and now this for the youth, this is the beauty of the message right here now. He makes these statements. He's explaining Revelation. And he's constantly dropping scripture.
Right.
So now he's given us scripture. Now he's given us two more scriptures here. As God is vindicating this revelation, he's doing it by the Bible.
Right.
He's doing it by the Bible. See? He that's born of God, you know that's 1 John 3. He that's born of God doth not commit sin, and he cannot sin. Huh? And then he goes to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right.
See? There you are. See? That throws your body subject.
Amen.
You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. Huh? Just get in Christ.
Yes,
see? You know, this is the simplicity of the message, but this is where you will be amazed how many people are out there saying, if I could quit this and I could quit that, and I could quit this and I could quit that.
No.
Get in Christ.
That's right.
And it will go. But don't confuse the trials and troubles and tribulations and Satan working on your weakness. That's not that. It don't make you this perfect person and perfect personality.
That's right.
That's not what he said.
Amen.
That's not what he said. But those desires, listen, those that love the world are the things of the world. It takes that out of you. It takes that world out of you. You're a changed person. See? It's all gone. See? Just get in Christ, it's gone. See? See? Because your body is subject to the Spirit, it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead, your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ. Your body, talking about this one now, your body becoming subject to the Spirit. See? Try to live the right kind of life. Huh? You just surrender. You just surrender and He takes over. It's God. Like you women, claiming you got the Holy Ghost, see? And going out here and wearing shorts and things. How could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. No? Because why? Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit.
Amen.
He's a Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So when the Spirit of God is in you, women, is what he's talking about, you cover up your body.
Yes, sir.
You don't expose your body.
Right.
Because your body is sacred, it represents a sacred thing with God. And so that's why God made a woman special.
Amen.
And so she has to conduct herself like that. She has a special calling from God.
Yes, sir.
And so she can't be exposing herself out there like that.
That's right.
So, but how could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? See? Just can't be so. And you, Brother Branham said, you men, said, you let your wife go out there and dress like that? He said, you're not a son of God.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of preachers are just really weak on this whole concept of standing on the word, what it says. And even in our homes and even in our wives. And I know that sometimes we get soft and we let things go. But Brother Branham said, you're going to put your foot down.
Yes, sir.
You're going to put your foot down or you're not a son of God. If you can let her go out like that and uncover herself like that and expose herself like that, then there's something wrong with you. It just can't be so. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. And then when you become subject to that spirit, see, it throws your whole being subject to the spirit. That's right. Huh? The whole man is subject to the spirit. And that spirit, listen to this, I love this quote. And that spirit, the one that's in you, the new birth, the thing that's guiding you, leading you, that spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest, or another word for manifest is quickened. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. That seed word in you is quickened, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, this body quickly turns to it. There's no question. Not saying, well, I think it'd be all right. You know, I just want to do it. I'm just going to be for today, or I'm just going to do it. I'm only going to wear these pants in the house. I'm not going outside. Or I'm only going to wear these shorts here. No, it won't let you do it.
That's right.
See? The body quickly turns to that. There's no question. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body be raised up again because it's already started. See? It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, and now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. See? You know, this is something that just hit me, and I've preached on this here, women wearing these pants to bed. They call them pajamas. I don't care what you call them. In India, they call that Punjabi dress. They call it an undergarment. And I told the pastor, I said, if that's an undergarment, then you need to get the dress covered up. Because
right.
You're exposing your undergarments.
Yep.
And so, but it's pants. And so is it, there was a preacher one time, his wife was like that. And she went and bought her a big pair of pants. And then she cut the middle of it out and had them sew a piece of cloth in there. And she come and she was bragging to all the sisters. And she just kept saying, it's pants. It's pants. And so the preacher was watching me because he knew it was wrong. And he kept looking at me. And I just was like, she's right. It's pants. I don't care what you sew in the middle. It's pants. She made it pants. She wanted it to be pants. She was looking for a way to wear pants. And I'm not positive about this, but I think it was the same one. She's one of the ones who started this pajama thing. And a lot of these sisters in the message started wearing these men's pajamas to bed. They started wearing the pants to bed. And I could count, I could make you a list of ones that I know that started doing that. And now they wear pants everywhere. They started with that.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and it went from the bedroom into the house.
Right.
And then it would just step outside, you know, just to do some business and come back in.
Right.
And then after a while, they had to run to town and get some milk and bread.
Right.
Then after a while, it's something else. And now they're wearing pants.
Yep.
And there is, I'm telling you, you could fill a page. You can fill a page. It started back there somewhere.
Right.
And some of these preachers' wives are the ones who did it. And this woman was a preacher's wife. And now she's out in the world. He's out in the world. He's not preaching no more. He's just got him a little beauty queen, and she's just out running with the men. Huh? There never was nothing there.
That's right.
There was nothing there. How can you say you got the Holy Ghost and then dress like that? And do those things that you're doing. You can hide it for a little while, but you can't hide it. It's going to come out. This is the day and the age of manifestation.
Amen.
This is the day and the age of the fruits being made manifest.
That's right.
They're manifesting the fruits. They're manifesting what's in their heart.
Yes, sir.
If the Spirit of God is in there, you'll dress godly, you'll talk godly, you'll walk godly.
Right.
You won't put all that junk on. You say there's nothing wrong. If that's what you think, then just go and watch what happens.
Right.
Just watch what happens.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
See, there's a thing. But now it's got... He's talking about this body will be raised up again. It's already started. It was once subject to sin, mire, and corruption. And now it's got the earnest, see? It's turned heavenly. What? Now, there's some earnest, there's some more earnest now.
Right.
That eternal life is living inside of this mortal flesh.
Amen.
That immortal is in the mortal, see? Now, that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest, see? A sick person laying there dying, nothing left but death. That's all that can happen, see? I've seen shadows of people done eat up with cancer and tuberculosis and seen them a little while after perfectly normal and strong. See, if there's no divine healing, then there is no resurrection.
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
It takes a prophet to put that stuff together for us, isn't it?
Amen.
But as soon as he puts it together, it becomes so simple, doesn't it? Because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Amen. You know what the earnest money is, don't you? It's the down payment. He was wounded for our transgression, and with his stripes we're healed. Notice how wonderful. We love him. Now this body, here he comes again, this body is subject to the Spirit and have not yet entered into the word form. Is he repeating himself? He's saying the same thing again in a different way. Just using different words, saying the same thing. But we are still in the flesh form. Oh, yes, you are.
Yep.
When you're born again, you're still in the flesh.
Yes,
and what did he say happens? That Spirit brings this flesh in subjection.
Right.
And then what did he say? We have not yet the bodies.
Right.
You have not yet entered into the word body, the theophany. You haven't entered yet.
Amen.
Huh? What did he say? You bypassed it. What did he say? Jesus was the Word before he became flesh.
Right.
But you bypassed it.
Amen.
See? Death in the flesh will take us there. Praise God.
Amen.
Saying the same thing the Bible said, just saying it with different words.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
See? We're still in the flesh form, but subject to the Word. Death in the flesh will take us there. Just the same thing. Think of a little baby. You can take a woman, no matter how evil she is, when she's pregnant and fixing to be a mother, and watch. See, before the baby's born, I don't care how cruel the woman is, she gets real kind. See, there's something about her sound. See, she seems godly to see a little mother fixing to become mother, see, by the baby. Why is it? That little body, now, it's not alive yet, see, that... The only thing it is just flesh and muscles. That's jumping. That's just muscles jerking. But when it comes forth from the womb, God brings the breath of life into it. And then he screams out. See? Just as sure as there's a natural body being formed, there's a spiritual body to receive it. Huh? So that thing is waiting for that mother to give birth. And God put that life in there.
Yep.
He said that thing's, she just gets sweet. That thing, that pure and innocent and holy thing is there waiting to come in.
Amen.
See, as soon as it gets here, that's right. Then, third time,
right.
When a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. This when I was studying this years ago, this is what really nailed it for me. I was studying because everybody was jumping on the bandwagon on the mission field, especially in Kenya. It was a big thing. It was happening in India too. Those brothers there, some of them actually believed they were in their glorified body. They were beyond. Some of them were in the millennium. Some of them were beyond the millennium. So there was just all different kinds of things. And so I started searching it. But then when I did, and I realized, and that's the way I looked all the way back. And that's why when I seen what he was saying back there, and then he stopped saying anything. And he didn't mention it again until he got to, who is this Melchizedek? And then he says, this is a revelation from God. This is it. And then he says it. He mentions the word. He mentions it a lot in this message. But then about three more times maybe. Maybe I don't know what the messages were. But about three more times after who is this Melchizedek, he refers to it like that. He's already preached it now. He's just making statements as he goes. All right. When a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. And then when this robe of flesh is dropped, there is a natural body, theophany, a theophany, a natural body, a theophany, a body not made with hands, neither born of a woman that we go to. Then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. Now, he's given us details about this theophany body. And sometimes when he's talking about this theophany body, it sounds almost like it's just a human body. It's just a body, a natural body. But it's a word body. It's a word body. And when you get in it, you know all things. There's a difference. That's the reason, see? That's the reason Jesus went to hell when he died. And he preached to the souls that were in prison. And he turned back into that theophany. Huh? When he went into hell, he turned back to that theophany, see? Oh, marvelous. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Now, this is his third time now, I think. Third or fourth time in just a couple of pages. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:1. If this earthly body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have another one. See, we have bypassed that. We come straight from God, the attribute, to be flesh, to be tempted, and be tested of sin like Adam did. See, that's what Adam did. That's why there was that temptation there. See, but when testing of his word is over, then we are taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. When was that body made? Huh? Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. That's an interesting fact. That's right. Just keep all the facts together and they start to answer questions. That's what happens. See? So, when all the testing of the word is over, then we're taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It is the word there that we skipped to come right around down here to be tempted and to be tested. So if that was made before the foundation of the world, then it sounds like that bypassing was bypassing, don't it? This body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world, it is the word that we skip to come around down here to be tempted and tested. If we had come through that, there had been no temptation. We had known all things. That's the reason Jesus knowed all things, because he was the word before he was flesh. But you're not the word before you were flesh. You bypassed it. That's what he's saying. Nobody knew these things until this message. Nobody knew these things until God revealed it in this message.
Yes, sir.
Then we become the Word. When? When this earthly tabernacle be dissolved.
Right.
Here, we are formed to the Word image. He's doing it again. He's going right back to the new birth and telling us again and giving us the details and nailing it down and nailing it down and nailing it down. He's letting us know what happens at the new birth so you won't falsely take your own idea or some quote that's a little bit gray and declare that, well, once you're born again, you're in your theophany. No, he's done said it over and over and over. What happens when you're born again? This is what happens. Here we are formed into the Word image. You don't become the Word, you're in the image of the Word.
Amen.
Why? Because the nature of God's in you, the characteristics of God, you are the attribute of God. And so when that life comes in there, then you begin to live out the Word.
Right.
You're in the image of the Word.
Yes.
To be, see, here we are formed to the Word image to be a partaker of the Word. Feed on the Word. By being predestinated since the beginning, you see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning. Huh? That thing was always there.
Right.
It was always there. Brother Rand said there was something in you just new. So you, no matter what, no matter how much of an unbeliever or sinner you were, there was still something there that somewhere in the back of your mind, you knew there was a God.
Amen.
Brother Branham said every believer, you knew.
Right.
You couldn't get away from it. See? To be a partaker of the Word, to feed on the Word by being predestinated since the beginning. You see that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning when you started your journey? Many of you can remember. You joined this church and you joined that church. Well, why didn't it just take you straight to the message? Well, some people it did. Some people went from church to church to church to church. From one theologian to another theologian to another theologian. Huh? Yep. But when you got in the presence of God, it quickened.
Amen.
It quickened. And you knew then, this is it.
Right.
And whereas one came straight to the message from the world, another one came through all these different avenues, and all of them testifying of the same thing. God was leading and leading
Amen.
And leading. It was God that was doing this thing. See, you join this church and that church. See, you try this and that. Nothing satisfied. That's right. But one day, you just recognized it.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. That's the simplicity. That's the simplicity of the message today. One day, you just recognized it because the Spirit of the age came and quickened the Word of the age that was in you, the seed of the age. The other night I was teaching somewhere, I think it was out in California, Arizona, I believe. I've told the little story here about the man setting a hen, had a little eagle under it. And when that eagle hatched out, he was the funniest looking bird that them chickens ever seen. You just go back through your Bible and you look at Moses. Here he was going to lead the children of Israel. He was going to deliver them from the greatest nation in the world with a stick. And he wasn't this bold, powerful man. He was the meekest man on the earth. Did that look like the guy who was going to beat that army? No. Here, when Jesus comes, here comes John the Baptist, this poor little guy. This poor little guy, he no education, no proper clothing, none of that stuff, went into the woods, the wilderness when he was 9 years old. Does that look like the kind of man that's going to introduce Jesus Christ? The funniest looking thing. That eagle was the funniest looking thing they'd seen.
Yep. That's right.
He was the funniest looking bird them chickens had ever seen. Oh, but they didn't know that the power that was walking among them. They didn't know that this guy could fly so high till they couldn't even see him. And if he picked one of them up and carried them up there, they would disintegrate.
That's right.
They would disintegrate. They couldn't, their bodies could not take the pressure.
That's right.
Couldn't take the pressure. Brother Keenan just posted a thing there. I think it was something that, I don't know if it's the one Joe Rogan put out or what, but anyways, it was talking about the eagle. I think I seen two this morning. I think one Brother Keenan had, and I think it might have been from the same guy. But anyways, he posted that, and then I just remembered one from the other day, and this is the one I'm going to tell you about. It was also from Joe Rogan, but he was talking about the eagle, and he said the only bird that will challenge an eagle is a crow. You know that?
Yep.
A crow is the only one who will try to attack an eagle. And the way he does it is he comes in and tries to peck his eyes out. The only way he could get him is if he can peck his eyes out. Think about that spiritually. If he can peck his eyes out, he can destroy the eagle. So what the crow will do, he can land on his back. The crow can land on the eagle's back. If he can sneak up on him, he can land on his back. And so this eagle, he don't start fighting. He don't get upset and start twisting. The only thing he does is he just moves his wings. And he just keeps raising up. And he just keeps raising up. And after, he don't have to fight him. Think about that spiritually. You don't have to fight him. He just keeps raising up. And after a while, they're getting higher and higher, and the pressure is getting more. And that crow's not built for the pressure.
Right.
He's not built for the pressure of going up there. The higher you go, you know, it's just like when you go down in the ocean. They have these subs that go down there, and they're not built for the pressure. They explode. They implode or explode. Whatever they do, just like that one they did, the guy and his boy got killed here a couple years ago. They were going down where the Titanic was, and they dropped him in this thing. And all of a sudden, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden, they start hearing it crack up. And I think they said that one imploded. Yeah. So it's the same thing when you go that way. You just keep going, and the pressure gets greater and greater. And so that eagle will just start, he'll just be easing his way up, not fighting. That crow's back there just waiting for the chance to peck him. And he starts going up, and then pretty soon that crow's like, man, this is getting uncomfortable. This pressure, my ears are starting to hurt. My eyes are starting to hurt. And the crow's up there, and he can't see the ground no more. And the eagle, he can see a grasshopper on the ground.
That's right.
He can see a mouse twitch on the ground.
Yep.
The eyesight is unbelievable. It's like supernatural. And so is it with God's eagles.
Amen.
It's supernatural what they can see.
Yes.
They can open this up, and the theologians have no clue. The scientist has no clue. But that those eagles, they can see something that the rest of the world can. They have no idea. They have no idea. And I think about some of these little children, and some of them are listening. The spiritual understanding they have is greater than theologians.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And even we used to talk about that when we were young Christians. We were in our 20s. And I used to talk about that because there was a lot of things, and they've been constant, that the scientists had not yet figured out or not yet believed that the Bible or the prophet said. And during Brother Branham's day, they were finding out things that the Bible said and that the prophet had said. The prophet had said things, and then science turned around and discovered it. It's been going on all the time. We don't get all of it because we can't catch all that news. But we get something every once in a while. And it's the same thing. And I used to say that as a young minister, I said, the bride of Christ is smarter than every theologian,
yes, sir,
every scientist, all the rest of them. Maybe not that intellect in the science, but in the realm of God, in the spiritual realm.
That's right.
They're beyond,
yeah.
Because they can't comprehend this. Okay. So he said, a man having the eagle. See, the eagle hatched out. He was the funniest looking bird. He walked around. He was the ugly one among them. See, because he just couldn't understand how that hen will clutch and scratch on that manure pile and eat. And he couldn't get the idea. See, and she'd say, "Come over here and feast, honey." Like I told you about that woman, she said, "Oh, my soul was fed." And it was the most carnal, insincere, ridiculous service, a lack of sincerity. No. But he was an eagle. He just didn't eat like that. It wasn't his food, see? So she would catch grasshoppers and what more. So, you know, and call that little chickens, and all them little chickens would go along, cluck, cluck along, eat. But that little eagle just couldn't do it, see? Didn't look right to him. So one day his mammy come hunting, and he would hear that hen cluck. And he would try his best to cluck. He couldn't do it. And he tried to cheep, you know, like the chicken, but he couldn't do it, see? He was an eagle. He to start with, was an eagle. Isn't that another revelation? You don't become an eagle. You don't become a son of God. You were always were a son of God. That's a revelation for this day. You always was. That's like some church members. Everyone, that's about the way it is about one out of a setting. That's right. But one day his mammy flew over and screamed and he recognized it. But Brother Branham said, you just recognized it. It changed your life. It changed your world. It changed your nature. It changed everything. You just recognized it. See? And that sounded right. He was an eagle to begin with. That's the way it is with the gospel or with the word or the power of Jesus Christ. When a man has been predestinated to eternal life, he hears that true ring, the scream of God. Nothing can keep him from it. See? Nothing. The church might say, days of miracles, cluck, cluck, cluck. Stand here, eat this. Stand here, eat that. That barnyard stuff, it won't do it for him anymore. He's gone. All things are possible. He gets off the ground. That's what's the matter with the Christian today. They can't get their feet off the ground. They're still loving the world and the things of the world. Oh, praise God. Just dropping down. That's the way we do. Drop down a little bit there. We accept God by faith, by the written word. There is something in there.
Amen.
It's that eternal life you were predestinated to. His grandpa and grandma were eagles. He was an eagle all the way back. Eagles don't mix with other things. He's not a hybrid. He is an eagle.
Amen.
And then, closing now. After you recognized that the very word of God was eagle food, then you left the other thing.
Yes,
you stayed there? No, you left it.
Right.
You got away from it. See? You have been formed. Are you listening? Here it comes again. Here it comes again. You have been formed into the living image of the living God, and you have heard from your theophany. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. So that theophany is just there.
Right.
It's just there.
Yes, sir.
Hmm. I haven't found the quote, but I had a precious brother tell me. He said, "Brother, that's your angel." He said, "Your angel." He said, "Your angel is with you always." He said, "That's your angel." And I said, "Well, I haven't found that quote." I said, "It sounds good." I said, "But I'd like to read that quote." You've heard from your theophany. He's done told us over and over, we're not in it and we won't be in it. And he backs this statement up because this, people also use this to be in it now. But he says it and then he brings the scripture again. How many times he's brought the same scripture? If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. You say, is that right, Brother Branham? Well, let's just take a couple eagles and look at them for a few minutes. See, there was a man by the name of Moses. I'm going to stop there, but we thank God.
Amen.
His word is true, and we thank God that we have an absolute.
Amen.
When people are saying all kind of things, we have a place to go.
That's right.
Because it don't matter how much confidence we have in somebody, no matter how much respect we have for somebody, it's got to be based on the word.
Right.
It's got to be based on the life
Amen.
Of Christ.
Amen.
And so I was reading this thing a while back, and this is kind of bad, but this it was it had to do with serial killers. And, of course, a serial killer is a psychopath. And so it had the 10 most likely professions of a serial killer. And I don't remember the order. I think a CEO is like number one, okay? But because these guys get so much power, and you was talking about somebody saying he was God to all of his employees, I'm God, you know, and they get that idea. You know, that's the same devil that got on Nebuchadnezzar,
see?
And he went as a wild man.
Yes, sir.
And so, but preachers was like number seven. It's like number seven on the list that they get that thirst. And Brother Branham talked about it.
Right.
He said money, women, and power.
Yes, sir.
And as a young Christian, I didn't think the power was anything. I said, I could see money and women. But as a young man, because I never cared for that. And so, but then now coming through the years and seeing the preachers and seeing these mega churches today and seeing these people that, and even the leaders of nations and seeing the leaders, the politics in these different countries. And once they get in there, they will kill to stay there. They will break every law. They'll break every rule. They'll do everything. Brother Branham said that power without character is satanic.
Yes, sir.
So if we get in those positions of leadership, we get in those positions of power, and we don't have the character of Jesus Christ,
right.
If we're not one of those attributes, then it's satanic.
Yes,
and it's going to go bad.
Yes, sir.
It's going to go bad. Yes. And that's the condition of the world today, because that it's all climaxing. As the bride is climaxing the manifestation of Jesus Christ, Christ unveiled, so is the devil and his children. It's the climax of the evil, of pure evil. And people have no feeling for one another. Let us stand and we'll dismiss you in a word of prayer. Be praying for Brother Goomba. And now we've missed Sister Evelyn now two services, and so I didn't get a chance to call her, but I will. And so I know that, I don't know if she's sick, but I know she has been taking care of her brother and helping him. And so Sister Emily's at home with the children. And so we want to remember them. And we're looking forward to seeing Brother Goomba.
Yes,
and also Joe and Asenoth now. He put some pictures on this morning. Beautiful. She was beautiful, bride's dress and all that. And then, Joe, they had him in an African garment, and it looked really good. Looked really good. So, and he just fit the part, just fit the part. So, wish we could have all been together. But we're glad she got to do it there, because that means so much more for her to be there, especially with her mom and with the family, and the girls were able to go. So all that was good and worked out really well.
Amen.
So I'm assuming that Brother Goomba, he'll have a couple of days rest, so he'll probably be ready to come on Wednesday. We'll see how that goes. If he is, we'll welcome him like that. So let us just bow our heads as we dismiss this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so blessed, and Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to see revelation after revelation, Lord, not by no man, Lord, but by you, that you spoke through your prophet. Lord, none of us have anything to brag on except you. Lord, you're the one. And we thank you. We praise you. We lift up your lovely name for all that you've given us in this day. And Lord, may you continue to let these things unfold. Continue to reveal these things. Lord, those that are sick, afflicted, Lord, just give healing to them. Touch them. Give traveling mercy to those traveling. Lord, bless the bride and groom. Lord, each one. Lord, to every heart. And Lord, we ask you to just be with Brother Richard, Sister Edith. Continue to strengthen them, Lord. And Brother Richard, as he's gaining strength day by day, we thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for Brother Michael, Amanda, Lord, opening their home, and Lord, all the labor that goes with it. we know its work. And Lord, it's been a real labor of love, and they've done it from their hearts. May you bless them, Lord. Strengthen them. And we just give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you so much.